Startup Nation on News Talk 760 WJR. Easy to follow instructions.
All right, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio. Action, man. We're getting it from the guru himself, Dan Gilbert. You can't beat that, can you?
For our inaugural show, you could not ask for anything better.
Unbelievable. Welcome back to Startup Nation Radio today, brought to you by Walsh College. Rich, get in here. What'd you hear? Hey, listen, I heard something for you. Dan said business is messy. That's you. That's got you written all over it, Rich.
I think our own Dan on the show, I heard you, so I think our own Dan on the show made a really important comment. It was quick, right before the break, and Dan, you said, whether it be for your employees or for your clients. Let me tell you something. Most small businesses are solo acts, and what that means, where culture applies there, is you have to set the tone any of the vendors who work for you. For any of your clients, your customers, you have to kind of lead the way and focus them and have the credibility or whatever the key things are that you need to impart. But that's where culture is so important when you're a small business, really small business. You got to make that culture come across to your customers, and that can be contagious. It can be the difference between not selling and getting a sale done.
Great advice. No doubt. Well, listen, guys, we're going to go right back to the Dan Gilbert interview here. I want to remind everyone, if you've got a question, this is your chance to get access to the experts. Call us at 800-859-0957. You'll reach us here at Startup Nation during the show. All right, let's get right back into this, guys.
Let's do it.
Can't wait. Let's roll it. Part two, the Dan Gilbert interview.
The second biggest enemy potentially of an entrepreneur is something called the spreadsheet. I think that has been a killer for people because – you know, the spreadsheet's this nice little boxy thing where it fits really nice and neat, and it's either plus one or minus one. But you have to understand that, you know, spreadsheets don't create anything. They create nothing. And in essence, a spreadsheet should be for measuring things. You know, maybe a compass in a way that you're willing to adjust, but they don't create. And you can't see most important decisions on a spreadsheet. You can't. You know, the world isn't linear. It's not always, you know, if I go plus one, it's minus one somewhere else. I think the world's more of like whack-a-mole. You know, you hit one mole down and seven moles pop up. You can't predict. So, right. Yes, you know, you want to use them to a degree, you know, but don't get married to them. Don't run your business through a spreadsheet, because if you do, I think you're not going to go very far.
That gut feeling that we talk about as entrepreneurs, you do not want to in any way dispel that or dismiss that, by living off spreadsheets alone and data alone, right?
That's right, because, I mean, how do you measure a new idea? How do you measure a new idea, a new concept? I mean, you know, like at Google, or take one of the bigger, more successful companies in the world, right, of the last 20 years, and, you know, if they went and did a focus group or asked people, hey, would you use this thing? Well, nobody knows what that thing is, and how do they really know how they're going to use it and like it or want it? I mean, how do you measure that? So there has to be, you know, a lot of this, it's got to go by gut. It's just a belief system that, you know, I believe people will like this or love it, or it's going to be valuable someday. I just don't know how, but, you know, there's value here, and you keep toying with it, tinkering with it. I mean, a lot of the models, now we had a guy in yesterday who's had a very fast trajectory of an internet site, website, web business. He's up to like 32 million unique users a month, and this guy's, you know, it's his second year in business, and he has no revenue model yet. He's been funded by a lot of the big VCs already, and he doesn't need a revenue model because they just know that, look, when you got that much traffic and that much advantage in this space against any potential competition, you're going to create a revenue model that's going to be very valuable. There's too many eyeballs, too many things. Now, not all businesses, of course, you know, have the luxury of working that way, but it's just an example of how you can't measure everything on a spreadsheet.
Yeah, Dan, I've always had a belief that the market doesn't lie, and the market will tell you if you've got a great idea. But you have to engage the market. You can't sit back and try and get something perfect and never get out there, engage with clients, engage with people. Have you had that experience in the past where the market, you thought one thing, but the market told you something different?
Oh, you know, absolutely. You know, for sure. You know, it's a great concept, like, you know, a great statement. You know, we will toy around with a lot of things, and we'll say, well, just, you know, let's just ask people. Let's at least, you can ask people about things that are tangible that they can use right now in front of them that they understand. Some things, like I said earlier, hard to ask them about if you're not fully developed. But certain times, you know, when you have something that's prototype or ready, you know, just go talk to people. Even talking to your own relatives and your wife and your kids and your mother and your family. A lot of people think that's not. I think that's valuable. I think, you know, I have teenage kids. I mean, I ask them things all the time about websites and technology. I mean, like they recently told me, all of them unsolicited, that Facebook is passe, that they're not using it anymore. It's not good. They don't like it anymore. And, you know, the next month I read in the newspapers that for the first time ever, Facebook's usage among certain age group is now officially declining. So, I mean, you can get a lot of that by being curious, being aware, and for sure talking to as many people around you because they are part of the market and they'll give you honest answers.
Hey, Dan, given the journey that you've gone on and landed where you've landed, looking back on it and knowing what it took to get you to where you are and knowing what it takes other entrepreneurs to become successful, I'm just curious, and I know our audience is, you know, people who are questioning whether they have the wherewithal and the capability to really do it for themselves. I'm curious, do you believe that entrepreneurs can be made, or are they born?
So that's a great question, Jeff. I'm not sure I totally can come out on either side on that. I do think you probably need something in your makeup that's willing to take risk. I mean, if you're by nature just, you know, the most conservative person in the world and you don't like taking risks or chance on anything, it's probably better that you work. Maybe you can work in an entrepreneurial company, right? You know, and be part of that because there's always a place for folks like that in any business. But you know, to be an entrepreneur, you probably need something in your makeup that's okay with risk-taking, that's not a perfectionist, that has an ability to ignore noise, that's curious. I mean, you need some of that. So I've seen some people where you're kind of on the border that can be pushed over. But I definitely think if you have a little bit of that, something in you, that it absolutely can be grown and can be cultivated and can be made to be greater.
So a guy like Dan Gilbert, I mean, hypothetically, if I were to take away all of your success today, took away all the capital resources, took away your company, the whole thing, and you started over tomorrow, regardless of what it is that you chose to do, but you started on an entrepreneurial path again tomorrow, what do you think that story would look like at the other end?
Well, am I the same age as I am now, or am I the age I was back then?
Yeah, exactly. That's true. That's a good point. You know, life stage really has an impact. You know, families and other things really. But let's what I'm trying to get at. Dan Gilbert did it once, but I it's kind of a leading question because I think I know the answer. At least I know how I'd answer it if they asked me about you. But how would you answer it?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I like to believe that, unlike an athlete, that you only have a certain period of time in your skills, no matter how hard you work and try. When you start pushing 40 or whatever, it's going to be real tough for you to say, hey, I didn't make it as a baseball player, let me start off as a football player now, right? That's not going to happen just because it's just physically, scientifically almost impossible, right? So, but an entrepreneur, or using your mind and your experience, you know, whether it's myself or anybody, you know, I'd like to believe that you know, who knows if it would happen right away, you know, because a lot of it will depend on which idea initially you go with and how quick that one takes versus adjusting to go to something that is successful. But I like to believe that you know, we achieve some form of success. You know, who knows where you end up at the end. And that's another thing, too. You know, one of our isms is, you know, money follows, it doesn't lead. And that's, you know, I should have probably answered that a little bit earlier in one of your questions. But, you know, if you're chasing money, I haven't met really wildly successful entrepreneurs who were motivated by money. I mean, money is, they become some of the wealthiest people around, but that's certainly not their motivation, which is sort of ironic because people who chase money and are measuring themselves by money tend not to be the wealthiest people in the world. And the people who just love building things and are just charged up by creating those environments and just the action and the energy, you know, end up wealthy, but they're not chasing the money. So I think that, you know, I would like to hope that we'd be, you know, successful in something else.
All right. We're going to cut the interview right there. We're going to come back. Dan's got more to say in the next segment, but I gotta stop right there. This is amazing, guys. Actually, we have this screen here in the studio that gives us an indication of callers calling in. And we did announce the call-in number at 800-859-0957. If you got a question, give us a call. And we actually, the phone lines are lighting up, but there's one call here that says, I disagree with Dan.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Alex from New York. I got to hear this. We got to hear this call. We're going to do that. We're going to come back after this break. Now, I'll tell you, Alex, you better be ready. I'm looking here at my stats. Dan's number 118 on the Forbes 400 list with a net worth of $3.9 billion. Are you kidding me? You disagree with
Dan
Gilbert.
We'll see.
Let's take a listen. You're listening to Startup Nation Radio. Come back with us after this break. We're going to hear Alex's question, and we'll try to give an answer as well, if possible. Great stuff.
If possible.
Stick with us. You're listening to Startup Nation Radio.